Okay, let's get started. Have you heard about this term FOMO? Have you heard about FOMO? Who knows what FOMO is? Okay, quite a few of you. FOMO stands for fear of missing out. And some of you here are missing out on basic cultural knowledge. But FOMO is this anxious feeling that you are missing out on something good, something fun or exciting. Now, can you guess who first told me about FOMO? Someone from this church, obviously. Have a go. Who first told me? It was many years ago, but it was Emily. Emily Williams, Isaac's wife. Not that she would struggle with that, but she was just telling us about what FOMO is. But anyway, my goal today is to help you experience some FOMO if you've not had that before. And what I mean is godly FOMO, of course. Because I believe that we are all missing out on some amazing things and exciting opportunities from God. And I want you to feel anxious about it. Okay, maybe anxious is a bit of a strong word here, but you get what I mean. Okay, I want you to feel like you're missing out on some things that God has for your life. So let's look at the main passage for today, which is in Genesis 25, and it's a famous episode between two brothers, Jacob and Esau. So on the screen, we should see those words. So this is Genesis 25, verses 27 to 34. It says, "When the boys grew up, Esau became an expert hunter, an outdoorsman. But Jacob was a quiet man who stayed at home. Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for wild game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field exhausted. He said to Jacob, 'Let me eat some of that red stuff because I'm exhausted.' That is why he was also named Edom. Jacob replied, 'First, sell me your birthright.' 'Look,' said Esau, 'I'm about to die. So what good is a birthright to me?' Jacob said, 'Swear to me first.' So he swore to Jacob and sold his birthright to him. Then Jacob gave bread and lentil stew to Esau. He ate, drank, got up, and went away. So Esau despised his birthright." Now let's get straight to the main point here. Esau sold his birthright in exchange for a bowl of stew. I'm sure you can all agree with me that this wasn't the best decision that Esau ever made. He sold his birthright for stew. If I wanted to be funny, I could say something like, "I feel like I'm selling my birthright every time I go shopping nowadays." But let's be serious. Birthright gave you access to 2/3 of the inheritance when your father passed away. So birthright meant wealth. Birthright also meant that you would become the head of the clan, the patriarch. So it gave you social status and power. But the family of Abraham had also spiritual blessings and promises. God told Abraham that through you, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And the birthright included these blessings and promises. And Esau sold his birthright for some food. I mean, there isn't any nice way of putting this. That was just plain stupid, wasn't it? It was the wrong decision. But what was his excuse? He said that he was hungry. No, he was starving. And what else did he say? He said, "I'm exhausted." It's just pathetic, isn't it? sold his birthright, and these were his excuses. Again, there's no one here who would say these were valid excuses. That he was really, really hungry, and he was exhausted, so that's why he sold his birthright. I think we are all on the same page here when we say these are not good enough excuses. Now, there is a very important principle that Jesus taught in Matthew 7. It is good to identify and help others with their problems, but we should always make sure that we don't ignore the same problems in our own life. We don't want to be hypocrites. And so if we're being honest with ourselves now, some of us here, maybe most of us here, sometimes make some pretty stupid decisions, similar to Esau as well. We are choosing instant gratification in place of lasting joy. We are paying for temporary satisfaction with eternal rewards. And we even have the same excuses sometimes. I know I can hear myself here. Oh, I'm just tired. And anyone else? I just feel tired. That's why I'm doing this stupid decision. But we agreed that that doesn't make those decisions any less foolish. And I think it's important that we are honest with ourselves and with each other when we are making these bad trades. There is no way that Esau could justify selling his birthright. Yet, we often try to justify our own bad decisions as well. Now, the book of Hebrews picks up on this story. And this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 about this. It says, make sure that there isn't any immoral or irreverent person like Esau, who sold his birthright in exchange for a single meal. Now, this is quite strange. Why is Esau here being described as immoral? Now, the word here is actually specifically describing sexual immorality. We've just read the story. There wasn't anything about that in the story. But again, Hebrews specifically calls him sexually immoral person. And I think Bible often links sexual immorality with spiritual unfaithfulness. When God's people abandoned their covenant to chase after idols and physical desires, the prophets called it adultery. But sexual immorality is also, it just perfectly fits this Esau's behavior here, just of satisfying his immediate fleshly desires. When we give in to sexual temptation, it's like we're selling our birthright for some stew. Now, unfortunately, my father, who was in ministry, because of sexual immorality, decades of his work and service gone, just like that. He sold it all for some stew. Now, the second thing that Esau is called is irreverent or godless. Now, this is referring to the attitude towards the sacred. As we said, his birthright was also connected to spiritual blessings and God's promises for him and the people. But he treated these sacred things as if they were incredibly cheap, just worth a single meal. And again, it's worth reflecting on our attitudes towards the promises of God. What value do we place on the things of God? What are we willing to exchange for them? And what is our attitude towards the things of God? Now, since we're already in the book of Hebrews, let's look at another verse, one chapter earlier. This is from Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, now without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. It's impossible to please God. We must believe that he is and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, there was a season in my life when I was pursuing God very intensively. I was seeking God just extremely earnestly, and I sacrificed a lot of time and sleep and opportunities just to pursue God. But one day I felt the Holy Spirit speak this verse to me, that I cannot please God unless I believe that he rewards those who seek him. God is not happy if we don't believe that he has good things for our lives, that he wants to bless us. God wants us to believe this about him, that he has a good plan for our lives. We have to believe this. Yeah, God is not happy otherwise. And at that time, I was so focused on my own sacrifice for God that I forgot about this. That God has sacrificed for me. That God has good things for me. And interestingly enough, it wasn't long after this that I met my wife. Well, what a great reward, isn't it? But how does this fit in with what we are talking about? Now, if we don't understand the extent of the blessing that God has for us, and just the riches of God's goodness towards us, then it's much easier to exchange them for the bowl of stew. And we need to see the value of what God is offering to us. Then it's much less likely that we would make these bad decisions and bad trades. Because that's the only mitigating circumstance that I could think about. Maybe Esau just didn't realize how valuable his birthright was. We need to know again how much God has for us. What is the extent of God's goodness towards us? And then it's going to be much less likely that we're going to exchange it for something that is actually worthless. Now let's read a few more verses from Hebrews 11. There's a few more verses in that chapter I want to pick up on. These are verses 8 to 10. It's Hebrews 11, 8 to 10. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and set out for a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Abraham moved from a nice city to live as a foreigner in a tent. He left the comforts of probably the most modern culture at that time to live a nomadic lifestyle. And why was he able to do that? What motivated him? Because he understood that God has something better for him. That was his motivation. Again, he was looking forward to something better. He understood that God has something better for him. And it's not that living in a city was bad, but he was looking for a better city, one whose builder is God. And this is a really important principle for us to understand. It's not that pleasures are bad, but we are looking for better pleasures. It's not that the bowl of stew was bad, but we are looking for something better. God has more for us, better things for us than these trivial things. Let's continue reading. These are verses 13 to 16 in Hebrews 11. These all died in faith, although they had not received the things that were promised. But they saw them from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on the earth. Now, those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they were thinking about where they came from, they would have had an opportunity to return. But they now desire a better place, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is the right attitude, to desire more, to desire a better place. Okay, not to desire less, but to desire something that's even better than what we can have now. Some people only desire small things, like money, fame, power, comfort. Those are small things. But God has so much more for us. Now, this passage makes it clear that most of the promises will not be fully realized in this life. Again, it says that they've not received the fullness of those promises. They could just touch them a little bit, just experience a little bit, but they've not fully realized those promises. And there are two extremes. There's a prosperity gospel on one side and poverty mindset on the other side. There's two extremes, and we want to avoid both of them. As we said, it is important to believe that God really wants to bless us. He cares for us and wants good things for our lives. But in this life, we will only experience a fraction of what is prepared for us in the next life. That's where the fullness will come in. And this was actually the one advantage of the bowl of stew over the birthright. The bowl of stew gave immediate satisfaction to Esau, isn't it? But Jacob had to wait decades to receive his inheritance from the birthright. And the bowl of stew was immediate. The birthright was so much better, but required patience. We had to wait to receive those things. But I think we all agreed that regardless of those things, this was still a good investment for Jacob. And that's my question to you. Are you investing into your eternal future? Are you just thinking about the right here, right now, or are you thinking about the future as well? Now, a few months back, I opened a bank account for my son and daughter, and we're giving them some pocket money each week. My son Israel is 6 years old, and he's getting £3 every week in his bank account. That's inflation for you. Now, the first week I went with them to the shop, immediately said he wants to spend his money. He wants to buy something with his new bank card. And so he spent £1.50 on few sweets inside this plastic microphone. Now, it took him about 2 minutes to get through those sweets, and it was all gone. Just like that, half of his money gone. Now, he very quickly understood the fleeting pleasure of sweets and instead decided to save up for something bigger. We went to a few shops and he saw something that he liked. He was tempted a few times to buy more sweets, but his goal was to save £25, that's a lot, to buy a big pirate skull. Now, I was very proud of him because it took him weeks to save this up. There were plenty of temptation, plenty of sweets in the shops. but he patiently endured. And he was so happy when he finally paid for the skull with his bank card. And for days he was saying, this is the best toy that he's ever had. And spiritual principles in God's kingdom are often very simple, isn't it? You don't need to be a genius to be wise, to make wise choices. Again, even a child can make some of these wise decisions. Again, God makes things so simple for us. Again, it's better again to save up for the future than just to spend it all on the immediate gratification right now. Just checking how I'm doing so far. Anyone getting a little bit anxious, realizing they've been buying too much stew recently? I think, well, don't worry, I've got a little bit more if you're not anxious enough. Got Hebrews 11, verses 24 to 26. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. For he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since he was looking ahead to the reward. I think you can all see the pattern here yourselves, isn't it? It's the same thing again. Moses gave up status, wealth, comfort, and pleasures, not because he wanted to be poor and miserable, but because he was looking for something even better. There was something even better than what Egypt could offer him. The status that he had, the wealth and pleasures that he had. No, he gave it all up. He said, there's something even more valuable for me. And our culture often sees Christianity just a little bit boring and against fun. And we are certainly against things like excessive drinking or sexual promiscuity. But it's because we understand that they are just fleeting pleasures. And there is something that's so much better. And a wine expert doesn't refuse the five pound wine from the local corner shop because he hates wine. No, it's because he's tasted something that's so much better. As Christians, we should be the experts on joy and pleasure and good things. Because God has all of these good things for us. And that's what we are after. David famously in Psalm 16 says this, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's what we are choosing as Christians. We're choosing the real pleasure, not the worthless things that Egypt has. We're choosing these eternal things, the real pleasure that lasts forever. And Jesus himself said this in Matthew 13, verses 45 to 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one priceless pearl, he went and sold everything he had and bought it. And what a difference between this merchant and Esau. Esau couldn't see the value of his birthright, but the merchant, he could see that this thing, the kingdom of God, was so much more valuable than everything that he had. He sold everything just so he can gain the things of the kingdom of God. It's priceless. It's so much better. I have last two verses for today. They are from Philippians 3, verses 7 to 8. This is Philippians 3, 7 to 8. But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung, so that I may gain Christ. And Paul was just like that merchant, because he understood the value to know Christ, to encounter him, to live in his presence. Nothing can compare. And that is the most valuable thing that we can have. Nothing can compare to this. I'm a little bit ashamed because sometimes I forget this. Sometimes forget that I have such a treasure. I have access to that freely. That God has made a way for me to enter into the presence of God. And sometimes I don't live like this is the truth. I think the message today is very simple. Nothing very complicated here, but it's been on my heart because I think this is an important message, just to remind ourselves of the value of Christ, the great things that God has for us. We're going to just reflect for a couple of minutes on this message and pray again. I think it's been very simple, but it's good to reflect on these simple truths. I've got a few questions that will be on the screen. I wonder if you can just stand with me. I'm going to pray in a moment. You can either join me or just pick up on one of the points that's on the screen and pray yourselves about this. So if you can just stand up, and so we're going to reflect for just a couple minutes on this and pray together. Father God, I thank you that indeed you are good, and that you invite us to taste and see that you are good. Help us even now just to taste of your goodness again. Nothing can compare to the things that you have for us. Thank you that you sent Jesus so that we may have life and life in his fullness. Thank you that through you, Jesus, we have life in his fullness. We get to experience what real joy is, what real pleasure is. Thank you, you satisfy the desires of our hearts, Jesus. Oh, you are so good. We pray, open our eyes again to see you, for who you truly are. Oh, help us not to miss the value of the things, the promises that you have for our lives. Oh, and we pray, help us to be patient. Help us to fix our eyes on what is eternal. Oh, we don't want to. Yeah, we don't want to be distracted by the immediate, but we want to focus on the things that truly matter. We're looking for the rewards that you have for us, for the city that you have built, that we get to be a part of. Lord, we pray, help us to live as wise people. We don't want to make foolish decisions. So I pray you help us to be honest with ourselves, especially some of the excuses that we sometimes use to justify certain things in our lives. Help us to see them for what they truly are. Help us to face the reality and make wiser choices in the future. Lord, we're so grateful that you have so many good things for us, and we don't want to miss out on them. We don't want anything to stand in the way of the good things that you have prepared for us. Lord, we're willing to give up some of the fleeting pleasures that we have, just so we can taste more of your eternal pleasures. Lord, your kingdom, your presence is worth more than anything else. It is worth selling all that we have to gain that one thing. To be close to you, to be found in you, Jesus. So we thank you, we pray, Holy Spirit, again, renew our minds. We can see this clearly in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.